Blog Talk Radio. Shoes when you come in the house.
wash, you know, we're supposed to wash five times a day because we're praying five times a day. You know, there are things that were just incorporated into our life that has prepared us for today. Most Muslims should have some food stored up because we would, that was our instruction. Now, if we didn't follow instructions, hey, that's on you. Okay, but I want to start out by saying every single one of y'all that got your children in your house right now driving you crazy, you need to thank the teacher. You need to apologize for every time you gave them a hard way to go, because now you know for real what the real is. You got teachers that got 45 children just like that child is driving you crazy right now, okay? So we as a society, we as the black and darker people of the planet community, we need to check ourselves, because we have allowed this society to take us away from very basic things that we knew in terms of how to raise children. So our children are pretty much raising themselves. And you know why? Because you got your head in your cell phone. You are not watching, you're not listening, you're not seeing, and we're producing children who are running rampant. And now some of y'all realize, oh, that teacher ain't lying on my child. What am I supposed to do? Okay, I'm going to give you some hints on what to do with them while they're home. All right? So, again, this is Mother's Milk, and I'm Samia Safia Muhammad. I'm thankful that I'm here. I fit in that category of the older people, but thank God I have no underlying diseases. So, inshallah, I will be good. I'm in my house, and I'm happy. And only people, you know, it was funny, they said that we needed to limit people to 10. Well, we got more than 10 in our immediate family, so, yeah, that's not possible. But please do not play with this disease. It is meant to cull the population. You can go and pull up on YouTube Kissinger's talk, Bill Gates' talk about diminishing the population to a size that they felt comfortable with, okay? This is not, as they say, urban legend. This is actual facts. So go check it out. All right, so let's start with your children. Okay. First of all, we have allowed our children to come up unskilled, meaning what? Basic things they don't know how to do. I've had students come to school with their shirt totally wrinkled. I'm like, did you not iron it? I don't know how to iron. What do you mean you don't know how to iron? Okay. Children rolling out of bed with hair, coming to school, hair not combed, face not clean, teeth not brushed. And I had to ask my daughter, I said, did I ever send you to school with your hair not combed? And she said, no, Mommy. I'm like, okay, I was just checking because, you know, I thought that was something we do. We got to get back to basics, okay? First of all, when your children open their eyes, first thing they should do is thank God that they're awake. Make sure they do that. Then second thing, when they hit the floor, turn around, make up your bed, okay? Your bed should be made up. You should not leave your room with your bed unmade and stuff all over the place. This is what you call chaos, and it does not prepare your child to walk into a classroom and do organized thinking, working, or whatever, okay? So that's the first two things. One, make up the bed, then head to the bathroom. They need to, if they're not taking a shower that morning, they need to brush their teeth, wash their face, comb their hair, and then get dressed in clean clothes, starting with the underclothes. Okay, if your child is anywhere from 9 on, your child needs deodorant. These young people's bodies are not like ours. When we were developing, they're developing extremely early, and they come into a classroom and knock a teacher out with the smells of 3 or 4 teenagers who are, or preteens who have now got hormones going all over the place, and just it's awful. So make sure your children put on some kind of deodorant. Okay, make sure their clothes are clean. You have to check. That's your job, Mom, Dad, Mom. This is your job to check to make sure your children look at them before they walk out the door. Wait, what are you doing? What are you looking like this way? Go back and get this done. Because then if you don't do it, then we got to do it. As teachers, we got to come and say, wait, hold on. Go in the office and get some toothpaste, toothbrush, brush your teeth because your breath stinks. And that should not be. You have to. Look, I need you all to go back in history and look at our people. Even when we were in the most poor conditions, we were always striving to get out of those conditions and be clean. We are not a dirty people. We were made dirty. We were thrown into the mud and then talked about because we had mud on us. Okay, so we got to get back to cleanliness, because cleanliness is godliness. Okay, being clean. All right, so that starts with the physical body and then the physical environment. Okay, now, your children, your five-year-old, should be taught how to wash the dishes. You're like, well, they can't reach the sink. Get a step stool. Okay, show them how to wash whatever they use. They use a cup, they use a bowl, they use a spoon. Show them how to wash it, dry it, put it away. Put it in an area where a young child, if they're a five-year-old, put it in a low cabinet. That's their shelf. Put their stuff where they can reach it, because you cannot continue to raise children who don't know how to do these things. Okay? So teach them how to wash dishes when they're five. Okay? When they get nine, everybody should be able to wash their own clothes. So that's a task for you to do. Teach them how to sort their clothes, how to wash their clothes, how to dry their clothes, how to fold their clothes, give them a height-appropriate drawer and a dresser. This is how you put your underwear, your socks, your undershirts. Show them how to do that, okay? And then for the young ones, we had two bars in their closet. One was for the little people and one was for the older children. The younger people had a closet bar that they could reach, and hangers that were appropriate size for their clothing. They had to hang up their clothes, okay? We have to get back to the basics, because we have lost it. We have lost it. We are living like savages, and we have to turn this thing around. So you got plenty of time now, because you locked down. You know, God put everybody on timeout. Let everybody take you behind home and go sit down. Stop running the streets, everybody. Okay? And guess what's happening? Guess what's happening? The pollution over China is gone. The pollution over some of these big cities in Europe is gone. In Venice, the fish are flowing again in the canal. The canal is clean. The ducks and the swans or whatever have come back. All over the world, the air is getting cleaned. Because guess what? God was sick of all of us. Because we got to the point where we thought that we knew better than the Creator. So now we all of a sudden we deciding, well, God made a mistake, so I'm a man, I'm a woman. Stop all that foolishness. So God says, you know what, you're not going to listen to me? That's all right, I'm going to shut everybody down. Sit down. All right, go home, sit down. So now that you're home, let's get some things done. Okay, so you're going to teach them how to wash their clothes. Then you're going to teach them how to iron. And I don't want to hear this, oh, you can put the dryer sheet in the dryer. No, dryer sheet is not going to take the wrinkles out. The dryer sheet is not going to make you look like you care about you, okay? So teach your children how to iron. You know, when I was growing up, my aunt did not believe in allowing an iron to come out off that shelf during the week. So guess what? Saturday morning, had to iron all my clothes for the whole week. You know, didn't like it back then, but it was good training. I didn't use a washing machine until I went to college because my aunt didn't believe in using public washing machine. So guess what I had to do? Scrub it on a scrub board in a tin tub and hang the clothes over a pole over the bathtub. That was on Wednesday and Saturday. That's what you got to do. Okay? Saturday, you better stay in here and iron all your clothes. Okay? You may say, oh, that's harsh. No, it made a good person who was able to raise good people. Okay? We got to get back to some of this stuff. All right? So teach your children how to iron. Put away their clothes, match up their socks. You know, children come to school and mismatch socks. Why? Because they won't bother to match them up. Come on, people. Let's get our socks, you know, let's get ourselves together. Do that. Okay, now, teach your children how to clean the house. Okay? On Saturday mornings, every child got a room that they had to clean. So the first time I instituted that, I was fussing, like, for about 3 weeks. And I'm like, this doesn't make no sense. Why can't they? And I said, wait a minute, hold it, stop. That's not fair to them because you didn't show them what you wanted and how it was supposed to be done. So what I did was, back then we didn't have copiers. We didn't have, you know, stuff that you could just download. So I took magazine pictures of each room. This is what a clean bathroom looks like. This is what a bedroom looks like. This is what a living room looks like. This is what a kitchen looks like. And then I cut it out, and I put some clear contact over it, and I drew some boxes next to each thing that I wanted them to do underneath the picture, and they had to check it off when it was done. So my children all learned how to clean a bathroom, clean a kitchen, clean a living room, clean a bedroom, vacuum, wash windows, dust. Yes, they learned all of that. So guess what? They can do that as adults. They don't have to have somebody do all of that for them, okay? So do that. Teach them how to clean. So you're going to have to go in there and show them this is how I want this done, and then, you know, write it down and put a little check-off box, and then you go back and expect. So this is participation between you and your children, something we've not been doing for a long time. And you say, how do I know? Because I see it every day. I see it every day in the way the children act. Okay, so do that. Show them how to. Okay, so you've got a lot of children. Okay, when your children come in, we had hooks right near the door, their size, their level, so they could hang their coats up when they came in, right there, right? So before they took off their coats, if it was wintertime, they took their hat, put it in their sleeve, they put their gloves, one in each pocket, they put the scarf around the neck, then they hung up the coat. Okay, so everything's right there that you need in the morning. You're not running around, where's my hat, where's my gloves, or that. Okay, their shoes came off. We didn't lock shoes in the house. Their shoes came off, and they put their shoes on a rack near the door, and they put on their slippers. Okay, now, after they've done their homework, they were to put those book bags back out this near the door they were going out of. This is what you need to do. Your children, whatever door they're leaving from, their book bags should be there with their homework in it, and that you have checked, okay? That you have checked and made sure they've done, and that you have signed stuff that the teachers asked you to. Because, see, this stuff's not happening nowadays because everybody won't put the phones down long enough to take care of this business, okay? So your child's book bag needs to be near the door, okay? Whatever door you're going out of. And see, down here in the South, we have several doors. You can go through the garage, you can go through the front door, you can go through the side door. If they're going out the garage door, their book needs to be near the garage door, okay, so that they don't get to school and go, oh, my God, I left my book bag home, okay? Mom, you got to check. Dad can help you, but, Mom, it's on you. You raising these children. That's your job to raise them from a dead level, from an animalistic level to the level of a human being that can function anywhere they go in the world. And somebody will say, wow, who is that child's mother? Because they don't ever ask who the child's dad is. Let the child act up. They want to know, who's his mother? Where his mama at? Okay? So let's be better mothers. Let's be better mothers. And these are some of the things I'm telling y'all how to make this happen, why you got them home with you. Okay. Now, I've heard some of you say, oh, my God, I can't wait. No, no. Don't say that about your child. That's your child. That's what you carried under your heart for 9 months, okay? I think if we start to think about it that way, maybe we'll appreciate what we've produced. You carry this child under your heart. That child heard your heartbeat for 9 months, okay? Don't discard your child like it's something that's not part of you. That's part of you and will ever be. Even when we put you in the ground, they'll be talking about the mother of, okay? So let's get back to hug your children. Tell them you love them, even if they got on your nerves all day. Before they go to bed, let them know, I love you. I still love you. You know, I'll break your neck if you do that again, but I still love you, okay? Don't be afraid to discipline your children. Don't be afraid to let them know. This is unacceptable behavior. I'm not going to tolerate it. Your father and I are not going to tolerate it. Get yourself together. Because what's happening is our children are running wild. They're running wild. Some of these people, I mean, you go on Facebook and you see how we're behaving, and I'm like, whose child is that? Where they mama at? Don't you see your child? What, you afraid to go say, yo, come here, homie, what's wrong with you? I didn't raise you like that. And if you did raise them like that, you need to apologize to them and get it fixed, okay? We got to get this. We got to stop all of this. You know, this is, God got us all on timeout. We got all got time. You know, when you put child on timeout, you're supposed to think about what he did wrong. Okay, parents, we're all on timeout. Sit down and write down all the things you think you did wrong. and start working on fixing them, because it can be fixed. It can be fixed. Okay? You listen to Mother's Milk. My name is Samia Safia Muhammad, and I'm talking to you all and myself because we have got to do better. We got to do better. You know, the world is at a standstill right now because we got haughty. You know, we're lucky that we didn't get what Sodom and Gomorrah got, which was just got wiped out totally. God's given us a little bit of time to work on ourselves. He got us in time out. He didn't wipe us out. He could do that too. Earthquake, done. Tsunami, done. Okay. Tornado, hurricane, all of those forces of nature wipe us right on out by the millions. So let's be thankful we didn't get to that point yet. You know, the plague has come. It's for us to sit down and think about ourselves and turn back to Him, turn back to the God, and ask forgiveness for all the madness that we've brought on the planet. You know, what sustained us over the 400-year sojourn here as enslaved people was our faith in the God. But now we've become godless. We think we know more. We don't need the God. We got this. You know, that's the favorite saying of this young group right here. I got this. No, you don't, because if you had this, you wouldn't be sitting in my office right now. Okay, you're in my office because you don't have this. Okay, so we as parents got to check them. Say, excuse me, what did you just say? No, that's not the type of language you should be speaking. You know, but see, if you have not cultivated that kind of relationship with your child, and your child thinks they can run all over you, then you really got a serious problem. You know, see, y'all afraid to snatch them up. I don't give a darn how big they are, how tall they are, how heavy they are. Oh, you will get snatched up and get shook up, because I'm not going to tolerate you acting other than yourself, because our own self is a righteous Muslim. What's that mean? A righteous person who submits to God's will. That's who we are by nature. That's how we survived all that we were put through. And we cannot turn our back on the mercy that was shown us because we're still here. Any other people would have been totally wiped out. We're still here. Not only are we still here, but we're showing for excellence in every arena that we are allowed to enter into. I don't care what it is. Hockey. Soccer, rugby, ballet, classical music, whatever they think that they locked us out of, or we get into it, and not only get into it, but go straight to the top. Because we are God's people. He allowed us to show the world, you know, we're like Job, where God said, do what you want with him. But he's not going to curse me. He's my servant. And we, by and large, have not cursed the God. Some of us are getting real close. That's why we in time out, because enough of y'all done got close enough that all of us had to get punished. You know how you're in the house and somebody breaks something, y'all won't admit. They won't admit who did it. Everybody had to get a spanking. Mm-hmm. That's where we all are right now. God got us all locked up like, oh, dang, I can't go out. I can't. Yep, you're not doing none of that. Okay? So while you got time, you know, if the Bible is your book, read it. If the Quran is your book, read it. Pray, teach your children how to pray. How many of you have not even taught your children how to pray? See, that was the one thing. No matter what, we knew how to pray. We knew how to call on the Creator to help us. And our faith brought us through. I need y'all to read. You got plenty of time. Oh, you got plenty of time right now to read. You know, there's a website for the where you can borrow books online from the New York Public Library. Go download it. Get yourself some books. Okay, Redemption Song, Patrice Berry, Sharon Draper, Carper Sun, Cane River, Lalita Tamdi. Okay, she got Cane River and Red River. Cane River is her father's story, I believe. Hold on. Because she has one for her father's side of the family and one for her mother's side of the family. So get both of those. Borrow them from the library. You got time. You got nowhere to go. Okay, yeah, this is her mother's side. Elizabeth was her mom. And that's her mother's side. Her father's side was Red River. You got Closing the Gap by the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. Elijah Muhammad's books, Fall of America, How to Eat to Live, Message to the Black Man, Our Savior Has Arrived. You got The Warmth of Other Suns by Isabel Wilkerson, In the Wake of the Wind by J. California Cooper, Anything by Toni Morrison. If you have Hulu, pull up The Pieces I Am. You get a good insight into Miss Morrison. Now, I'm hearing that there's some controversy about the way Madam C.J. Walker was presented in this biopic or whatever it was that is now on Netflix. Always, always do your own research after you look at these movies, because you have to always ask yourself, well, what is their agenda? Why did they make this movie? And is this what the producer really was trying to get to? Because what happens is a producer will produce a book, and then, I mean, a movie, and then by the time they edit it on the cutting room floor, it's not anywhere near what the person intended for the audience to see. Okay, another book, The Tempest Tales by Walter Mosley. Walter Mosley's got several books. He's Devil in the Blue Dress. A lot of his books featured a detective called E.Z. Rollins. He's got lots of books that he's written, and many of them were made into movies. He's got a book called 47, which was his attempt at doing a child's book. It's good for teenagers. There's another book for a teenage boy called Gabriel's Story. I don't remember the author. I have to get that to you next week. Okay, Murder by Injection. Everybody needs to read that right now if they can get hold of it. They may have taken it off the internet, but if you can, it was on the internet. The person who wrote it was named Eustace Mullins. It should be, if you put Google his name, it should pop up on the internet, and you can read it right off of there. You'll understand what's going on with this virus and whatnot. Okay, Brother Ta-Nehisi Coates. Yeah, I speak out it right this time. The Water Dancer, very good book. You can get it. It's also on Audible. A lot of these books are also on Audible, so you can read them on Audible. Listen to them on Audible. Now, my problem with Audible is I start falling asleep, so I have to keep going back. So I'd rather have a physical book in my hand. Okay, so The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews, Book 1, 2, and 3, if you can get hold of them, you might have to go to NOI.org to get them because Amazon pulled them because they didn't like the truth that was being talked about in this book. These books, there is a picture in one of the books. It's circulating on Facebook and the internet right now. It's the picture of one barge of cotton that is about five stories high. So think of a building five stories high, and it's about the length of a block in New York filled with cotton. And somebody asked the question, how much are we owed? Well, I don't think they could pay for that barge right now. Just the one. And those barges were rolling back and forth from the United States to England and in Europe for over 350 years. That's a lot of money. Just the labor to put the cotton. And if you ever picked up cotton, cotton is extremely light. Okay? So it was a lot of cotton picking we did. Okay, so this next book that I'm going to talk about is very special to me because it's from my friend. She and I went to junior high school and high school together, and I had not spoken to her in about maybe 20 years or more. And I happened to see a picture of her on Facebook, and she was at a book signing. And I had seen pictures of her over the years, and she didn't look like herself to me. And I'm like, wow, I had to look at the picture like, is this really her? And so this picture, this particular picture looked like her, and I typed in on Facebook, you look like what you did at Taft High School. And she said, who is this? And I said who I was. And she said, oh, my God, because she just finished writing her memoir, and it's called Ordinary Hazards, a memoir by Nikki Grimes. She said, I've thought of you often over the years. She said, and you're in my book. I have a poem about you. So I was very, when she read it to me over the phone, I didn't get past her first line of the poem because it really kind of shook me up. It's called Kindred Spirits. I'm just going to read the first line. And it said, a girl named Jackie saved me. And I, you know, just was stunned by just the thought of that. So good book. I think you'll enjoy it. And it's she's got several children's books. The Diamond Something Mysteries for Little Girls. She's got all kind of poetry books. And pick up some of these books. So you might not be able to get out your house, but like I said, you can get or go on the New York Public Library does. It probably does in most of the cities that you're living in. Go online and get some books read. Reading is extremely comforting. It'll calm you down. Don't try not to read it on the iPad if you can. You know, get a book and actually turn the pages. It does something for you to be able to touch a book and turn the pages. You know, I know that, and then you know that all of that light that you're looking at from the tablets and phones and stuff is not good for your eyes and your brain anyway. So curl up with a good book, especially if it's raining outside. Good thing, great thing to do. Curl up with a book and read it. Okay, so now, again, this is Mother's Milk. My name is Samia Safia Muhammad, and we're all shut in. So talk to your children. I talked to my students today about being shut in and what they thought about the virus because I wanted to gauge their thoughts and their feelings. So I asked them to tell me about their thoughts, tell me about their feelings, and then to tell me how they expected to see this thing turn out. So they were all good because they've been taught that this day was coming, and so they weren't flipping out and, you know, having nightmares and being worried because they know that God is God, Allah is God, and they have their faith strong. So, okay, getting back to another thing about your children while you're home, teach them how to set a table. We don't do that anymore. Too many of our children are eating out of bags, fast food from all these fast food places that are killing us, and they don't know anything about setting a proper table, meaning to put on a placemat, some silverware. It doesn't have to be fancy. You can go to any of these stores, the dime stores in New York, Walmart or wherever, and get a set of silverware, meaning that's made out of stainless steel. You know, you can make it fancy, you can make it not fancy, but the thing is to have a fork, a knife, a spoon, and know what to do with them and how to eat properly. So you, you know, you buy those. You can buy placemats, or you can make them out of big construction paper or two pieces of construction paper put together or the paper that what is that paper called? The paper that you make projects out of, a poster board, and just cut it the size that you want and have them color it, you know, put whatever phrases they want to, put whatever they want to, and then buy yourself some clear contact, make a placemat, and make sure that you set a table, meaning you're going to set places for everybody where a chair is, and they're going to sit down, and everybody's going to sit down at the table together and eat. You're going to put the food in bowls, or you're going to serve the plates, however you got to do this. You know, when my children were younger, I served all the plates. We didn't let them pass food around, but as they got older, we could pass food around, and they would take civilized amounts, so that was good. But when they were younger, I had to make sure everybody got some food. So, you know, I would serve out the plates. So, you know, you serve your plates and you put them down and you all say grace, meaning thank the God for providing you with, first of all, a place to sit down and then some food to put on a plate. Okay, some of us going to find out what it's about all this food we've been wasting real soon because we're going to run out of food. Okay, so sit down, say grace. You know, my uncle used to say, good bread, good eat, good Lord, let's eat. That was his grace. You know, but we say, you know, Lord, we thank you for this food. May it nourish our bodies and keep us strong and healthy. That's our grace. So you can make up one that's your family and pass it down, you know. But like I said, my uncle was good bread, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. Okay, so say your grace and then sit down with your children. This is the most opportune time to find out what is going on in their lives. You don't have to do it as an inquisition, just questioning. Just let them talk. You know, let them talk and listen and watch and see who's not participating or who is participating too much or who's hiding something. You should be able to tell whether your children are all right by just from the conversation that they have around the table. And have a conversation. Talk. Talk about everything. You know, no topic should be off limits. Talk. Talk to your children. Teach them about your family. Because that's another thing we're not doing. We're not passing down any of the information so the children have no connection to those who went before them. So they don't know about grandma and grandpa. They didn't know grandpa went to college or grandma worked in the factory during the war. They don't know anything because we're not talking to them. We're all busy trying to be social and trying to get likes on a device that doesn't mean anything to anybody, because everything that you got on Facebook don't mean nothing. You know, oh, I got 1,000 likes. And really, do you really? Do you know that person that you're talking to? Are you? And some of us are sharing way too much information. Nobody needs to know what you had for dinner on Facebook. Why are you putting all this stuff out on Facebook? Because you want attention. Okay, well, you need to have attention from people, from real people that can touch you. Well, they can't touch you now, but I'm saying after this whole safe distancing thing goes away. Okay, so let's get to this virus thing. All right, this is deadly. They claim they don't know where it came from. Okay, fine, we'll buy that for now. But however it got here, it is not something to play with. People who have underlying conditions have to be extremely careful. That means if you have high blood pressure, diabetes, anything that's going to compromise your immune system already, stay away from people right now. Stay in the house. Well, I'm going stir crazy. Well, find something to do. I mean, some rapper had 1 million people dancing in their apartments. I mean, that's wonderful. Stay in your house. Stay in your house. You know, challenge each other over the phone, you and your siblings, if you have them. Oh, we're going to do push-ups, we're going to do whatever. Do something like that. But stay in the house. Don't go outside. Stay away. Try and stay healthy. Try and stay away from every, because this thing is spread by everything somebody else touches. You know, they used to think that we were crazy telling people, no, take your shoes off when you come in my house. You know, wash your hands. You know, washing, you know, as Muslims, we're supposed to pray 5 times a day, which means you wash your hands. You clean out your nose, you clean out your ears, you clean out your mouth, you wash your feet. Just to say prayer. Just to say prayer. And what does it do? It keeps you from getting sick. Because, you know, I've been telling y'all ever since I started this show that there was a doctor when they had the first bird flu or swine flu or one of them flus. And he said, you know, all this craziness that people talk about, he said, look, get yourself some salt and water. Get yourself some Q-tips. Swab your nose and then gargle. Okay? When you swab your nose with the salt water, it's going to trickle back down your throat and you're going to gargle it and spit it out. So what does that do? Whatever you breathe in when you were outside, you're washing that out as soon as you get in the house. Your ears, clean your ears. Keep your ears clean. You don't have to put the Q-tip all down in your ear, you know, canal, but make sure that all of the whatever dust and stuff gets on the outer part of your ear, clean that. Okay, wash your hands well. I don't understand people don't wash their hands. Good, wash your hands. You know, use a good, Palmolive has a disinfectant, antibacterial dishwashing liquid. Use that on your hands if you have to. You just want to make sure your hands are clean. Okay? Try and make, if you're out, now down here in Georgia, everybody's car, everybody's driving a green car because the pollen is that thick. There's pollen everywhere. So people who have allergies, they definitely need to stay in because it is going to make you sneeze. Okay? I was driving last year and I thought this man in front of me's car was green. And when I pulled up alongside him, I realized it was black and it was pollen I was looking at. This is real down here. Okay? So make sure you clean when you come in, clean your nose, clean your ears, wash your hands, make sure you take off your shoes before you got in your house. Vacuum, dust. I know some of us don't do any of this anymore. Vacuum, dust. Get all of that stuff out of the air. Get some, there's some charcoal, bamboo charcoal air fresheners. They work. Get them, put them in your house so they can take whatever. They absorb dust. They absorb mold. Get all that stuff out your house. Check your house. Go around and look and see if there's any things that will cause allergies in your house. Take care of that because you don't want your children getting that mixed up with this so-called virus that's out here. Okay, people, listen, please. Please listen. Don't get yourself caught up in disobeying, quote-unquote, the military, and then you get thrown in some kind of camp somewhere. You know, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. If you're told to stay in the house, just stay in the house. You're safe in your house. If your house is not the way you ideally want it, this is the time to do that. This is the time to do it. Clean it up. A clean house, a clean, orderly house is more peaceful than junk all over the place. Because you can't think in clutter. Your mind is formulated to think right, to think upright. And clutter does not correlate with upright mind. So you walk in and the place is a mess, and then you want to know why your husband or whoever, your other, walk back out the house. I remember when my children were very little, like 2, 3, 4 little guys running around. You know, I knew my husband came home at 6 o'clock. 5:30, I cleaned up the house, made sure all their mess, whatever, fingerprints, whatever, was sparkling clean. So when he came in, he didn't see all that disorder. Okay, because no man wants to work all day and come home and come to a messy house because you done let the children run all over the place. You got dirty diapers. Come on, people, let's get it together. Yes, women, this is your role. This is part of your role, okay, to keep house. You want to keep the house. You don't want to have to lose the house. Keep the house. And a house, you know, they call the governing bodies of the United States, one of them is called the House. The other one is the Senate. The House sets rules. The House puts law. The House makes it livable for the people who live in the House. Okay? So that's our job. And don't take it as though that's something lowly. That's a grand endeavor to keep a house, to keep a house together, to have the place where people want to come. Oh, man, I can't wait to come to your house because your house is full of love. Your house is full of this. I love being there. I'm comfortable there. This is what you want, to create a place where people want to be it your immediate family, but everybody's friends. Oh, man, we love coming to your house. That's how you want your house. And that's the miracle. That's the blessing. That's the magic that you have as a black woman. Oh, you know how to keep a house? It don't have to be, you know, you could take the dime store stuff and make it look like it costs $1 million. That's our gift, sis. Sisters, this is it, man. We did it for everybody. You know, those white women didn't make their houses look the way they did back in the day. We did that. We were the quote-unquote maids. We made their counters shine and their glass sparkle. But we didn't. We were usually so tired we couldn't do it for ourselves. Well, you got time to do this for yourself. Look around your house and see what you can rearrange, what you can create, what you can do to make you feel good. And if you are tired, sisters, lay down. You can take naps right now. Take as many as you need. Put on some soft music. Put the diffuser on with some lavender or whatever. Relax yourself. We've been working many, 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 many years. And so we, since we've all been arrested by the Lord, take your rest. Lay down. Rest yourself. Get a good book. Curl up. It was raining down here about 1 o'clock. And we had finished our school for the day. And I lay down and went to sleep. I would have probably still been asleep except the phone rang and woke me up. I forgot to turn it down. But, yeah, rest. Enjoy it. You know, don't have the TV on so much because it's just going to get you upset and anxious because their whole thing is to get you excited and anxious, you know. Now just relax, relax. Turn TV off. Turn off the noise. And relax. Relax. Enjoy this time that you have with family, and hopefully. If you're not with your families and you're worried, well, you know, reach out. And whoever you're upset with, mad at, settle your differences right now. Because it's not time to be upset with anybody. We don't have time for that foolishness. Okay? Contact your mom, contact your dad, contact whoever it was that you thought upset you and deserved that you shouldn't be talking to them anymore. Make peace with each other. Make peace with each other. Because tomorrow's not guaranteed to any of us. Okay? So let's make sure we do that. Again, this is Mother's Milk. My name is Samia Safia Muhammad. I hope that you're enjoying or at least getting something from what we're talking about right now. When we come out of this, I pray that we're all stronger and more appreciative of what we've been blessed with. You know, sometimes we get so stimulated to want things that we really don't need. You know, go walk around your house right now and look at all of the things that you've accumulated in an attempt to be quote unquote happy, and look and see, has it really made you happy? Or and then look at it and then sit down and think about or write down the things that really have made you happy in the last year, and you'll find out it most of the time it wasn't anything material. You know, when did you laugh the most? When did you cry the most? What was it that triggered it? What was it? And think about these things. Think about the people who are around you and what would happen if they weren't there anymore. You know, and then show them some appreciation. You know, if you're in your home with your own children, go hug them. You know, you can hug them. Hopefully none of them are infected. Hug your children. Love your children. Let them know I love you and I always will, no matter what. All right? So, those of us who are mothers, be thankful that you are blessed to bring somebody on this planet to continue the forward march of humanity. You want them to be human. You want them to be about doing what's right as opposed to doing whatever to get over. You don't want them to do that. You need to teach them the law, the restrictive law of God. This is not what God wants. And, you know, some, oh, I don't believe in religion. You better. Because right now, like I said, we're all arrested. We're all sitting in house, sitting down, because Allah permitted this virus to come on. Because everything happens by his either active or permissive will. His permissive will was, okay, let me step back and see what y'all going to do since y'all know so daggone much now, see. Because now they ain't got to the point where, you know, well, I can create life and I can do this and I can do that. So, you know, there's a joke that was going around several years ago. And it was that, you know, scientists went to God and said, okay, you know what, we don't need you anymore, God, because we can create life. And God said, really? Okay, well, let's see. He said, because, you know, I can show you what I can do. So God said, okay, so, but we're going to create God, we're going to create man the way that I originally did it. So let's go. And so the God reached down to get some mud, and then the scientist reached down, and God said, get your own dirt. Okay? You can't do nothing but to manipulate what has already been brought into existence. Even if you make an artificial womb, you still got to go back and get some sperm and egg from what God created. So let's stop being so haughty, people. You need the God. He created you. You owe him for your creation. And you should be thankful that you were blessed. because you didn't have to make it here. You know, for 9 months, a woman carried you in her womb under her heart. She carried you under her heart. So be thankful. And if you haven't spoken to your mother in a while, give her a call. Tell her, thank you, Mom. And she's going to say, for what? Just thank you. Thank you for letting me, helping me to become. And then ask her, Mom, what did you want me to be when you looked in that, when you first looked in that crib and saw me? What did you think? What did you want me to be? Let her tell her story to you. You might find out some things that you really didn't know. Maybe she had a particular struggle with you to bring you here that you might need to know about, because it's in you somewhere. You've internalized part of it, whatever it was she was struggling with. So anyway, be thankful that you have family. Be thankful that you're here. Please obey the regulations that are going to be put in place. If we're quarantined, that's fine. Stay in. Vaccine, don't take it. Don't. If you can't, the vaccines have, they've admitted that the vaccine that they gave for HIV in Africa had HIV and was giving people HIV. Okay? We got it. We got to be careful about these vaccines. Okay? They're rushing to make one. Okay? But they didn't do anything with the other stuff. They didn't stop the other diseases that they were supposedly created to stop. So be careful. Be mindful. Keep your ear to the ground, as we used to say. Study. Try and get actual facts. Don't just believe everything that somebody tells you on the internet nowadays. Do some research. Do some studying. Talk to some people that you trust about what's going on, and just don't get caught up. Try not to get caught up in the foolishness that's out here. Okay. I pray that you have learned something from what I said. God willing, we'll talk again next week. Take care of yourself. Stay in your house. If you don't have to go out, you know, check on your elderly. Make sure that they're good. Make sure that anybody that's sick in your family is good, so that they can you can help them out. Most of the stores have hours for the elders to get in early, so go ahead and make sure you help them get out, because it's still dark. I know down here it's still dark. It's 7 to 8 o'clock, and that's when most of the stores are open for elders. So make sure you help them get to the store. Knock on your neighbor's door and see if they need some help. Don't try to take advantage of them. Knock on the door and see if they need some help. Go help them get their groceries for them, pick up their medicine or whatever you can do. And let's be neighbors again. Let's put neighbor back in the hood, so we can get rid of the hood and stop hiding under it, and be neighbors again. All right, you've been listening to Mother's Milk. And again, my name is Samia Safi Muhammad. I pray that you have gained something from what I said today. And God willing, we'll talk again. Assalamu alaikum.